This call is being recorded.
Welcome to Ask Gwen, everyone. And today I am honored to have someone that's been helping me with a project. As you guys probably know, I am the lucky duck of a trust fund. So I brought my lawyer on who's helping me with my case, but we are not going into my case specifically because there's too much stuff going on with my case, but we are going to talk about trust funds, special needs trust funds in general, and the difference between a trust fund and a special needs trust fund, because I did not know there was such a thing until I started getting it into myself. So I know there was trust funds, but I didn't know you can divvy it up into a special needs trust fund. So I'm going to let Mr. Kent Olson take it away. And we're just going to be talking about special needs trust funds in general.
Well, good morning, Lynn. It's nice to talk with you.
Good morning
and
to you.
Yes, and you wanted to discuss what we call special needs trust this morning, as I understand.
Correct.
Yeah, and let me start from the beginning. This type of trust, I mean, trusts have been around since the Old English common law, where people could set up a trust where funds or property would go into this entity, and a person called the trustee would manage it for what they call the beneficiaries. Well, the trust funds we're talking about now, the special needs trusts, were started in 1993 when a federal law passed back then that said that a person who is on Medicaid benefits can have this kind of trust and not lose their benefits. See, typically, if you're on Medicaid, they limit what you can own and what you can earn. But with the advent of these new trusts, these special needs trusts, it allowed people to be able to have some money on the side that they could use for just that, special needs, or they also call them supplemental needs. And what that means is that normally if you are a Medicaid recipient, you are receiving some kind of benefit from Social Security as your main support. And they expect you to use that for your basic support, paying for your living expense, you know, your rent or wherever you're living, paying for food in your home, and things of that nature. Under this new law that came in 1993, well, it's not so new now, but back 25 years ago, under this new law, it allowed you to have a trust that would not disqualify you for public benefits, but would allow you to use it for extra things that you need or you want in your life, things like clothing, things like furniture, transportation. Could buy you a vehicle, can pay for your automobile insurance, they can pay for travel expenses if you want to take a trip, and if it's a situation where you need somebody to assist you on a travel adventure, then it can also pay for your companion's expenses, and
okay.
It can pay for computers, all sorts of things that ordinarily a person might not be able to afford on their regular benefits.
It can, so you're saying it can pay for assistive technology if a person can't afford it.
Exactly, yes. If it's something that Medicaid won't cover, then your trust can cover that for you. And if that is buying a sophisticated assistive technology instrument or something that helps you, then yes, the trust can buy that for you.
I did not know that. So you educate me publicly. I did not know that. I knew that the trust can't support food and housing, which all special needs trusts can't, including my own. But I
right.
didn't know that a special needs trust could buy assistive technology. Wow, that's absolutely shocking to me, because as you guys know, Medicaid won't cover assistive technology. And even though we have the blessing of the rehab in Carlisle and all 50 states, we sometimes the rehab can't even buy assistive technology. So now my next question is, how does one go to set up a special needs trust if they don't have a trust to begin with? See, in my case, I have a trust to begin with. We're just translating it into a special needs trust. But if a person was starting from ground zero, how would they go about doing that?
Well, you would have to have it set up. I would certainly recommend that you work with an attorney who is familiar with special needs trusts. Not all attorneys are conversant with them, and you should find somebody that knows what they're doing. Now, you have to understand that there are a couple of types of special needs trusts that you can have. You can either have a first-party trust, and that's where the person uses their own money to fund it. Let's say you get an inheritance, or if you had a lawsuit for an injury and you get a settlement for it, or anything like that where you're coming into some funds that you know you're either going to have to spend them down quickly or lose your benefits, well, you can transfer them over into that trust. So that's your first-party trust. The other type of trust is called a third-party trust, and that's where a family member or any other relative or friend can set up a trust for you using their money. So a lot of times parents will set up a third-party special needs trust for their child so that they can at least leave them some kind of an inheritance, where before they used to not be able to leave an inheritance. So it does entail setting up a trust for them. It's a special type of trust. Now, with this type of trust, since you're involved with Medicaid, that means that you're going to have to get the state to approve your trust. So once it's set up, that means everybody's signed off on it. Then we send it up to the state. There's a department called Healthcare Policy and Financing in Colorado, and they're the people that manage Medicaid funds. They have to review that trust and make sure that it meets the criteria as a special needs trust. And then once that is done, then it's open to be able to get it running and funded.
Yes, because a lot of people aren't as lucky as I am, and I know that. So a lot of people are thinking, hey, in the middle of this interview, I don't have a trust fund to begin with, so how would I do it? So that's why I asked you that. What's the difference? So first party and third party. Now, is first party, I'm assuming first party is a little bit easier than third party, because third party involves family members. But is it, or are they both equal amount of paperwork?
Well, it's about the same amount, because you have to have a written trust that's signed, and it has to be approved by the state. Okay, so that's similar. And with this kind of trust, you have to have a separate trustee. So in other words, the beneficiary of that trust, the person who's getting the benefit of it, cannot be the trustee of their own trust. So you have to have somebody who can act as trustee for you, because the trustee has to make the decisions on whether or not this is an appropriate disbursement from your trust or not. Because the state periodically will ask for an accounting, and they want to check and make sure that the distributions have been used exclusively for that beneficiary, and it was for stuff that was allowed under the trust.
Oh, yes, they will. I personally know in Colorado that they're asking for accounting. But I know
when you're cutting out, I can't hear you.
I So I was wondering if all 50 states have to do this accounting thing or just Colorado.
Well, that kind of depends on state to state how they enforce looking at a person's special needs trust. I know in Colorado for a long time they didn't even bother, but as things change up there, they have come up with different rules, and now they're saying that the county that works with you on your benefits has the right to ask for an accounting. So it just depends on which county you're in as to whether or not they ask your trustee to provide an accounting every year.
Okay, so it really depends on which county you're in and which state you're in. And
Right.
I'll actually Google it and give you guys update because one, Colorado working on this trust for me, but as I said, states are totally different and countries are totally different. Now, if someone wanted to work with you and they're not in Colorado, how could they do that? Could you refer them to someone else, or could you work across state lines, or how could they get a hold of a lawyer who's conversant in special needs trust?
Okay, good question. I can only work in Colorado. I'm only licensed in Colorado. However, if a person is out of state, I could try to refer you to somebody in that state that could work for you. There is a national organization called the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys that has a website, and you can find attorneys in each state that are associated with that, and those types of attorneys are very likely to understand special needs trusts and know how to deal with them.
And what made you get in to being the blessing in my life? And what made you get into wanting to know more about special needs trust yourself?
Well, when I was in law school, I was a law clerk in what is called the Denver Probate Court, and the probate court is where they deal with people's estates, when people die, or also with guardianships and conservatorships and things of that nature and trusts. So I had a little experience there. Then when I started practicing law, I did anything and everything, and finally came back to working on trusts and estates and people with disabilities. For 6 years, I was the what they call the referee. It's now called a magistrate in the Denver Probate Court, and I dealt a lot with issues that involve people with disabilities, and that kind of brought my attention to it. And there's an organization, a national organization called the ARC, ARC, and some people in Denver asked me to join their board. It's a nonprofit organization, and I'm a volunteer member on that board for the ARC. Now it's called Advocacy Denver, but most other chapters are called ARC of whatever county or city or whatever it is. And they are advocates for people with disabilities. In other words, they help people get whatever benefits they're entitled to, get whatever civil rights they're entitled to, just like any other individual. So I've been working with that organization for well over 30 years. And then when the concept of elder law came along, I kind of jumped on that bandwagon because that had a lot to do with estate planning, and I dealt a lot with disability planning. And so I became familiar with Medicaid laws and how the Medicaid laws work. So my practice has kind of just devolved in that direction. And currently, I'm still on the ARC Advocacy Denver board. I'm on the ARC of Colorado board. And I helped start another type of trust that I was going to tell you about. The same law that passed the special needs trust for people, they included a thing called a pooled trust. And that is a nonprofit organization that can act as trustee for people. And what they do is you put your funds into that trust, and then they pool it together for investment purposes. In other words, you know, if everybody puts in $1,000 and there's 100 people there, you've got $100,000, you can get better return on it if it's all invested, as one big pile of money. And then that trust keeps track of what each person puts in so that each person gets their proportionate share of whatever the interest is that's gained. And these people are professionals. They're, as I said, they're a nonprofit board. And I was fortunate enough to be on the committee that started that trust up in Colorado. And now what we call the Colorado Fund for People with Disabilities in Colorado will be celebrating its 25th anniversary. And we have helped nearly 2,000 people over the time span of this trust. And we are still helping at least about 500 people right now. And it's a type of trust you can use other than the individual special needs trust that we talked about, but it works the same way. It is basically a special needs trust run by this organization. So a lot of times people that don't have a trustee that they can count on to work for them, they can join the CFPD, the Colorado Fund for People with Disabilities, and they can help them manage their funds for them.
Okay. So CFPD can help you manage your funds, because I was just curious. I do have a last question for you, and then I'll let you go back to your amazing work, including my case. And the last question I have for you, Kent, is if someone wanted to be an executor to someone's case, I know from personal experience that anyone could be an executor. Is there rules, obviously, to do that? Or could anyone be an executor? Or does it have to be a specialized person to be an executor? Conservator, that's what I'm trying to think of. Does it have to be a specialized person? Or the people that do this for a living? Or how would one go about this?
Good question. There are a lot of people that can serve as what we, for if it's a trust, it's called a trustee. But it can be a family member, it can be a friend, it can be what they call a professional trustee, which are people that they do that for a business, and they're usually licensed and bonded. So that they can serve as trustees, or bank trust departments can also serve as trustees. The problem with bank trust departments, though, is they may require a higher amount of money to be in the trust account before they will handle it. So oftentimes with the amounts that come into a lot of the people that I deal with, it would have to be either a family member or a friend or a professional trustee that would be willing to act as trustee for them.
Okay, so you wouldn't recommend a bank trustee at all. You wouldn't recommend a family member or a friend or a professional trustee without
right.
the association of the bank, because I have heard of a bank trustee, and I'm thinking, why would a bank manage someone's trust? And so you personally wouldn't recommend that. And so where can people find you, and where, I know you can't do out-of-state stuff, but where can people find more information on a special needs trust, or where could people find you, and maybe you and I could send them in the right direction?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm based in Denver, Colorado. I have three offices in the Denver metro area, and I can be reached at my website is mkolsen.com, and there is information on my website about that. Also, if you just Google special needs or supplemental needs trust, you'll find information there about this kind of trust.
Yes, but I'm going to put a plea warning here, Kent. You guys, don't Google special needs trust on your own. Talk to a professional about this, because that one sending you down a rabbit hole that you guys don't want to get involved. Trust me, I have my personal experience. I have never, ever, ever Googled what a special needs trust is, what a special needs trust can do. I leave it to the experts. I'm guided by the experts. So I'm just putting that out there. Fair warning,
okay,
that if you Google special needs trust, you may find, let's say, scam artists who say that they're a special needs executor and then don't do anything. So do your research before you Google and do your research, just because it's so important for the disabled population to get the services they need and well deserve.
Well, good point. Yeah, you might just get basic information there, but I would recommend that you talk to a professional, somebody that you can interact with that would give you correct information, especially if it's in a different state. Yeah.
Yeah, that would give you correct information. Well, I appreciate your time, Kent, and talking about a special needs trust and how to set one up. And if you guys also want to talk to me about a special needs trust, I'm more than happy to talk to you guys. I just can't necessarily give you state-to-state purposes, but I'm sure if you Google a special needs trust or Google the elder law, you may find out more information. Or what was that website again, Kent, that you gave that may have lawyers in all 50 states?
Yeah, that's National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys.
National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys. So it's
correct.
Elder
mm-hmm.
law, you guys. It's not anything else but elder law. And so
But those people still deal with trust and
okay.
stuff, and a lot of them may deal with special needs trust.
Those people still know what special needs trust is. And so I am so honored to have Kent Olson on here, and I hope this episode was helpful. And I am actually going to Google the Academy of Elder Law just to stick it in the show notes so you guys have some reference. But I appreciate Kent coming on and Kent taking the time to explain to us about special needs trust. And I hope that you found this episode insightful. Thanks, you guys.
You're very welcome, Wynn. It's been a pleasure talking with you.